This is a very, very special episode 400 on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Before we dive into today's masterclass expert interview, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go, while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there. What's up? What's up? If you cannot tell, I am excited. I am pumped about releasing and publishing episode number 400 on the Flip Empire Show. Guys, my name is Alex Pardo. If you've if you're joining us for the first time, you picked an awesome episode to join us. And if you've been with me for any length of time, thank you so much. 400 episodes in, almost 4 years of hosting this podcast. And what I'd like to do, you know, just a small way for me to give back is, you may or may not know that along with my friend, I co-lead and co-founded Ascend, which is a hybrid coaching and mastermind group for high-level entrepreneurs that want to get the most out of their life and their business. It's not just about business and making more money and scaling and growth and all that, but it's rooted in having a vision for your life. And so we just cover a lot of very important aspects, not just business. Business is a huge part of it, but also life and being a better person, a better parent, a better leader, etc. And we're in some interesting times. We're in a lot of uncertainty. Obviously, with the coronavirus and everything that's happening there, I see a lot of fear out there, and there's so many opinions. Some of it's good. Others, I think are just kind of leading people astray. And I think the media is feeding into a lot of this fear. And what I want to do here is, Steve and I are committed to being there for each and every one of our Ascend members. And one of the things we did was we called an audible, and we have, we do private one-on-one coaching calls every single month, and we also do a group mastermind call. Well, we're adding more calls, and what I want to do is I want to kind of give you a sneak peek behind one of our Ascend mastermind calls, where normally these calls are open format, where we get to mastermind, we get to share what's working within our businesses. We get to bring challenges to the table, whether it's in our business or in our personal life. And collectively, we come together and we pour into each other. And we make sure that we leave those calls with a game plan and that there's more clarity. And it's an opportunity to not just share what's working, but also to come with, hey, here's a challenge and how do I get over this? In this particular one, we decided to dedicate Steve and I, and we broke it up into two parts where we talked, number one, about mindset. As far as the coronavirus is concerned and how we need to be leading into this time of uncertainty and how we need to lead our teams and our families through this time. And then we talked about tactical business strategy. What should we be doing from a marketing standpoint, from a liquidity standpoint, if you're liquid versus if you're not liquid. And we talked about, how we need to be taking advantage. And what I mean by taking advantage of the opportunity to help people, taking advantage of the opportunity to lead. And as a result, yes, you will be compensated. And yes, there will be opportunities to buy properties at a deeper discount. And so many people talk about the fact that during these crashes or during these times of recession or uncertainty, wealth transfers hands. And yes, we talk a lot about that, but there's an opportunity to step up. There's an opportunity to lead and have your chin up, chest out, and have other people borrow your confidence. You know, we talked about Airbnbs. You know, we have several of our members that have many Airbnbs and what's going on there and how we need to be positioning ourselves so that we can prosper, not just survive during this time, but so we can thrive during this time. And then we opened it up for Q&A. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to just peel off the first hour of this because I really think it can help you during these times. And this is just a small taste. You know, this call went on for almost another hour as far as Q&A are concerned. And so to protect, you know, some of the questions and just some of the personal nature that was discussed, we're going to leave that part out of it. But for the purposes of this podcast, I just want to publish the first hour of that Ascend, you know, mastermind call, because I really think it can benefit you. So, my friends, I think that that's a great way to, kick off this 400th episode. And I appreciate you sticking with me with everything that you've, you know, everything you're going through. Just remember, no matter what it is you're going through, keep going, keep moving forward, persevere. Tough times don't last, tough people do. Okay. So really appreciate you. Let's hop into episode number 400.
All right, guys. Look, Alex, why don't you give us the proper introduction and then we'll get right into it.
Yeah, guys. I mean, look, I kind of did already on the Facebook Live and I have, Steve and I have quite a few notes because we have several talking points, but the way that we want to make this work is 60 to 90 minute call. We definitely have some things that we want to share with you. But then what we want to do is we really want to open it up. We want to hear everybody's questions, everybody's concerns. We want to brainstorm. We want to mastermind. Again, I always say there's a lot of brain power within Ascend and we need to tap into it. So now, obviously, everybody knows what's going on. There's a lot of uncertainty. For some people, that manifests in fear. For others, it's opportunity or maybe a combination of those. But we want to let you guys know that Steve and I, ever since this became real, at least I'll speak for myself, last Tuesday when the NBA shut down, and then it just feels like every hour things have been happening. I've taken this a lot more serious and I've tried to stay out in front of the news. And that's also dangerous because the news just perpetuates more fear and it's all negative. But really just from like a market standpoint, what does this mean to our business? How do we position our businesses? How do we position ourselves personally to make sure that if there is some sort of quarantine, if there is some sort of shutdown for 30, 60, 90 days, how do we get through that and how do we position ourselves in our businesses to not just survive, but thrive? So we have a lot of talking points here. One of the things, I guess, before I kick it over to Steve, because there's certain things that he wants to talk about. There's certain things I want to talk about. I want to talk about mindset. I want to talk about finding deals, marketing, raising capital, making sure you guys have liquidity. And I know Steve's going to touch on some of those things as well. Now's the time that I believe you guys need to run to the group and leverage each other, not just us as coaches, but each other. You guys each have a lot of perspective, experience, and insight. And if you guys are struggling with something, whether it's money, deal flow, whatever, I have no idea what's coming in the coming days, in the coming weeks, but whatever we're faced with, now's the time that I believe we gotta band together and we gotta stay connected. And regardless of that, this is gonna pass, guys. So again, I'm sure there's several of you that are concerned, that are scared, and that's totally normal. So I want to validate those feelings, but don't let that paralyze you is the biggest thing. Business has to keep moving forward. You want to be smart and you want to be strategic, and we'll talk about that, but just don't let fear paralyze you, okay? I said this on the live, and then I'll shut up and kick it over to Steve. Operate from a place of faith, not from a place of fear, okay? So... and if you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns, jot them down, and then we're going to open this up in a bit here once Steve and I kind of get through our talking points.
Okay, so what I'd like everybody to do is keep in mind what their questions might be. I know a lot of you guys have different questions. We can talk anything about strategy questions all the way down to actual deal execution questions, anything that you guys currently have on your desks that you need to get off. Or, you know, any sort of strategy as far as, you know, marketing or cash flow analysis or any of those things, we're here to help you with that. We will handle that towards the final third of the call here. But for the meat of the call, Alex and I both have a ton of information that we want to share with you guys. So please stick around for as long as you can. I am recording this. I will post the link after the call. But so if you have to drop off, we totally get it, but try to stick around for as much as you can. Here's how we're going to do this is Alex and I are going to, I want to start off with a little bit of perspective, which I'll share with you in 1 second. And then what we're going to do is we're going to bounce around on a bunch of different topics. And we're going to cover a ton of ground here today. But we primarily have this in two different camps here today. We're going to cover mindset stuff, and then we're going to cover like tactical and strategic business type of stuff. So hopefully we'll answer all your questions as we go through this content here for you today. We have not really prepared this. This is going to be totally off the cuff, and we're going to be hopping around and zigzagging on a lot of different topics. But hopefully between Alex's perspective as a wholesaler, my perspective as a rehabber, a buy and hold guy, we should be able to have you guys covered. So with that, I want to start off by just giving you guys a little bit of perspective with some research that I put together yesterday. So as of yesterday in the U.S., this is as of yesterday, not today, there was 17.3 coronavirus cases per 1 million people of population. So in other words, if you do the math on that, that gives you a 0.00173% chance of getting it. That's yesterday. As a contrast, your odds of dying in a motor vehicle crash, in a car crash, dying, not just getting in a crash, but your chances of dying in a car crash is 1 in 114 or 0.88. So that is almost 100 times more likely that you would die in a car crash today than get the coronavirus. That's today. I realize that it's multiplying. I realize that it's exponential. I realize people are doing this stuff not only to save themselves, but to save other people from getting sick and whatever. But the bottom line is that you could probably go outside and get hit by lightning or win the lottery more than you or anyone you know gets this coronavirus. By the way, can you just hold up your hand if you're on camera and you know anyone personally that has the coronavirus right now? Okay, we have one. Okay, that's the first person that I've asked actually that has known somebody that's got it. So I don't know anyone other than you, Alex, that has said that they know somebody. So
yeah.
So just some perspective, guys. So all right, let's go ahead and get into it, Alex. You want to kick off the mindset stuff?
Yeah. Let me. And again, Steve is going to. He kind of touched on it. We have a lot of notes here on a Google Doc. We didn't want to create some sort of formal presentation, so we just have talking points. The biggest thing, guys, from at least from my standpoint, I don't want to speak for Steve, but I'm sure he'll co-sign him on what I'm about to say, is mindset. I don't want to beat a dead horse. I already talked about operating from a place of faith, not fear, understanding that this will pass. This is just a season right now. A lot of the leading economists and entrepreneurs that I like respect, like somebody like a guy like John Burns, who gets multiple six-figure fees to go speak across the world, feels like, yeah, we're probably headed into a recession, but think about it like a U, you know? So like Q2 is probably going to be the bottom of the U, and then Q3, Q4, we're going to rise. So by most accounts from what I'm hearing, although everybody has an opinion, so I totally get that, we're probably heading into recession, but it's going to be short-lived. So what does that mean? Number one, we're going to talk a bunch of strategy, business, mindset, guys. Somebody told me this earlier and it really resonated with me. The fear is worse than the virus. Steve just talked about the chances from a health perspective. You still want to take things seriously and you still want to put the proper precautions for yourself, for your family, for your team members, make sure that they're safe. But the biggest thing, guys, is to stay calm. You know, don't panic. Don't go out and do something crazy. You know, if you have assets and if you have rentals, before you make any like big decisions, like deciding to sell off a bunch of properties, let's talk through it. Let's make sure that's the right thing for you. I know several people that have gone and have tapped into lines of credit. I know one guy in another group that I'm a part of that pulled $1.1 million line of credit and he has no plans for it. He's just going to pay the interest on it, but it gives him peace of mind. I don't know that there's a right or a wrong. Everybody's situation is going to be different. But in his particular case, he did that on the day that like the shit started to hit the fan last week. And I think he was doing it from a place of fear. So before you guys go out and make any like big decisions, ask yourself again, is this fear-based or is it strategic? Is it going to give me peace of mind? So, and I encourage you guys to connect with us and let's kind of talk through it. We're not going to tell you what to do, but we can maybe help you, you know, guide you and see some things. So again, stay calm. Don't panic. Try to unplug from the news, guys. You know, I don't know if you guys have the news on in the background, but that just creates more fear, more anxiety. My wife, you know, she's got the news on right now and she's like, well, I need to know what's going on. How am I going to be informed? And I'm like, trust me, every time you hop on Facebook, you will be informed. You're not missing anything. Yeah, things are happening rapidly, but it just creates more anxiety. And then that perpetuates the fear. And then you make bad decisions. You know, Dave Ramsey, I was listening to a video on Monday and he said, people make the worst decisions when they're drunk or when they're operating out of fear and anxiety, you know, out of panic. So, monitor your thoughts, you know, check where you're at there. And I encourage you to unplug from the news. Here's the last thing I'll say as it relates to mindset. And this is not the last you'll hear about mindset, because I know Steve has some things he'll talk about as well. God has a plan. You know what I mean? And that should give you, you know, if you're spiritual or if you're religious, that should give you some solace. You know, like, he saw this coming. And the truth of the matter is that nobody here should be surprised that there's a downturn. Maybe it happened a bit quicker than what any of us might have anticipated, and it feels like this whole coronavirus thing came out of nowhere, but we knew there was a reset or something happening. We just didn't know when. So hopefully we've prepared, you know, from a personal, from a business perspective. If you don't feel prepared, that's what we're here for, is to help you put things in place, put measures in place so that you guys can make the right decisions. You're not paralyzed and you can move forward. Let me kind of pause before I keep going. Does anybody have any, and Steve, I don't even know if you want to do it that way. If you and I should just kind of get through our talking points and then open it up.
Let's do that, because I think we're going to answer a lot of questions and cover a lot of ground here. We don't really have that long of a time. We got a lot to cover.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go ahead and pause there and kick it over to you, because I know there's some things on the personal side, mindset that you want to talk about as well.
All right. All right, so Alex, as far as mindset stuff's concerned, I'm going to have you kind of cover that. I'm going to dive right into basically what I have done on the personal side this week, and I will also dive into what I'm doing in the business side this week, just so everybody kind of knows what I'm thinking right now. I'm sorry?
Really quick, before you keep going, I'll follow up on my end from a business perspective. Okay. Here's the last thing. It sounds like we're kind of transitioning. Here's the last thing, guys, that I want to share with you as it relates to mindset. Now's the time that you guys need to step up as the leaders that you are. You know, not only does your family need you, but if you guys have teams, and I know that most of you do, even if it's just one virtual assistant, or for others that have a bigger team, you guys need to step up as leaders, and you need to have your team borrow your confidence and your faith. I can tell you, you know, I had somebody on my team that was pretty scared, you know, and Monday there was a ton of uncertainty, and I woke up, I couldn't sleep. I woke up like 4:30, 5 o'clock Monday, and it took me like an hour and a half to craft this long email to my company. And then we had our L10, and I assured them and I told them, look, I can't tell you everything's going to just be fine. I have no idea what's coming in the next week, the next month. This is all happening so rapidly. But what my commitment to you is that I won't let us fail, and that we're going to not just survive, but we're going to thrive. And so have people borrow your confidence, lead by example, lead from a place of faith. And that's contagious. Forget the virus. I think when you lead and when you step up and when you show up, I think people will feed off of that. And my team has been on fire the last 2.5, 3 days. I mean, we are in go mode, you know, so we're not going to let this, if there's a shutdown, if there's a quarantine, is it going to have an impact on the business? Yeah, it probably will, but that's not going to stop us from moving forward. And so step up as the leaders that you guys are. Each of you a part of this group. You guys are leaders. So now's the time to shine. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Steve.
So quick resource. I went ahead and I posted on the Ascend group for you guys, Dan Sullivan's The Scary Times Success Manual, Transforming Current Anxieties and Fear into Strategic Growth, Progress, and Achievement. Go ahead and read that, guys. It's very simple, but it will go a long way to kind of calming your fears as far as personal and business are concerned. And Dan Sullivan is an extremely smart guy. So I posted that as a resource on the Facebook group for you guys. Getting to some of the things that I have done this week. So my first and probably biggest recommendation is for you guys to make sure that you have some cash in your house. This should be anywhere between 1 to 3 months expense for your family. Make sure you get a safe and then and keep it in the safe. Okay, so make sure you guys have some cash. Who knows what's going on? I do know. I've spoke to a couple people this week that have gone to the bank, and it's been challenging for them already to get money out of the bank. You do not want to wait until everybody else is running to the bank to try to get money out of the bank, because they're just going to lock the doors and you won't be able to get your money out of the bank. So make sure you have at least 2 weeks of meals on hand for your family, and that you guys, if they completely shut down, or if you, if the grocery store near you has no food any longer, or whatever the case might be, that you guys will be able to eat for at least 2 weeks. Keep up on your exercise. So it's most of the gyms now are closed. I don't know how it is in everybody's area around them, but our gym here is now closed. Luckily, my personal trainer also has a gym at his house, so I went over there this morning to train with him there. But you know, figure out what you got to do to exercise, and get that in right now. Do not wait on your exercise, because there very well may come a time when they are not really going to let us out of our houses too much either. And I was reading about, if you want a harrowing read about what that looks like, now that Alex told you not to read the news, go look at on the Guardian's website. They have a really interesting article about what San Francisco looks like right now. And they're essentially not even allowing two people, a husband and a wife, from their own house to go walk together in the street more than 6 feet, less than 6 feet together. And you can be thrown in jail if you are walking more than closer than 6 feet together with your own wife, or you're living in a house with. So scary stuff out there, folks. I don't know what they're going to do with all this. That kind of stuff worries me more than the virus does, to be honest with you. But anyway, I say all this to say that you might not be able to take that walk anymore in the evening that you're enjoying right now. So keep up on your exercise, proper nutrition, and then, of course, sleep is all very important. Cut out all non-essential spending. So anything that's a luxury, you know, if you guys are going shopping for new clothes every other week or every month or whatever, like at this point, spring fashion really doesn't matter if you're sitting inside your house looking at your new clothes, right? So so cut out stuff like that. One of the things that I did, the first thing I did Monday morning, is I pulled $100,000 off of an unsecured line of credit that I have, and I put it in a savings account. I want to be able to have access to that. Here's why. When and if everything starts contracting, which you guys have watched the stock market over the past week, you see the precipitous drop that it's had there. The market, the money in the market starts to go away, vanishes. It goes away in thin air. The very first thing that the banks are going to do is they're going to pull in any unsecured lines of credit. They're going to close them. They might even call them due. But if they're unsecured, the only way that they get their money back is for you to pay it back to them when you can. So if you guys have unsecured lines of credit and you think like I do that I would actually be willing to pay the interest on it for a few months just to see how this shakes out, if you have that money on hand, then go ahead and do that. That's one of the decisions that I made. I have a very big closing that is supposed to happen on Friday. Everyone's telling me that it's happening, even though the courthouse is closed. Evidently there's someone who's standing at the door at the courthouse and is accepting, deeds for recordation. And of course some of that can be done electronically now and whatnot. And evidently you can still even, open a case. You can still sue somebody, but there's no hearings. There's no cases that are taking place in the courthouse right now. Also in Maryland, I'll bring it up now. In Maryland, just by the way, if a tenant can prove that they are somehow affected by this, and I would read that as inconvenienced by this coronavirus, and they can prove that, they do not have to pay rent, or they will be forgiven their ability to pay rent. It's not going to take long for that to get around, folks, and then people are just going to stop paying rent, and you will not be able to... you will be able to file an eviction suit, but you will not be able to proceed with that eviction suit until the courts are reopened, which that could be months from now. So pull from unsecured lines of credit. Somebody asked, is that just a savings account? Yeah, I just put it in a savings account. Okay, be ready to help others in need. Okay, so for example, if we're not allowed to go to church now, what are you going to do with your tithe? Think about things like that. You know, where are you going to send that money every week? What are you, you know, and of course, you know, what can you do in your community with your neighbors, with your family? One of the things that we've done is here, Carrie has spearheaded essentially the homeschool effort here with the kids. So first thing Monday morning, she sat down with the kids and she just did a chart of what their day is going to look like. And it's really awesome. Actually, I'll take a picture of it, or I'll get her to take a picture of it and post it on the Ascend site. So, Alex, that's my list for stuff on the personal side. I'm sure I'm leaving stuff out. What do you have?
On the personal side, I mean, look, I think you covered the majority of it. I mean, I think you guys need to do an assessment of where you're at financially. You know, do you have cash reserves? Hopefully you have at least 3 to 6 months expenses. There's no right or wrong. It's different schools of thought. I don't want to go out and withdraw, you know, a bunch of cash and have 3 months worth of expenses here in my safe. But I do have, you know, about 6-7 grand in cash. I don't anticipate, you know, it's going to be like a hurricane hits South Florida and there's no electricity. But better to be safe than sorry. If it gives you peace of mind and you want to have 20, 30, 40, 50 grand in a safe, go for it. But, you know, try to be liquidity right now is gold. Okay. Have cash, have capital, not just on the personal side, but on the business side. Also talk to your family, spend time with your family. You know, one of my team members has been working nonstop and I had to tell him, like, you guys met Adrian and I last night were exchanging boxers like at almost 1 a.m. And I'm like, dude, like, go get some sleep. Like, we're going to be fine, you know, but he's inspired and he wants to work. So make sure that you guys are spending quality time with your family, you know, honor your vision. Yes, this might be a time to kind of roll up the sleeves and jump in. That's what I'm doing. That's what I would recommend you guys do, but not at the expense of, you know, your loved ones and just working 20-hour days. And, you know, you do what you got to do, but I guess what I'm trying to get across is spend time with your family. I know that, that most of you are probably doing that, but it's a good reminder. Steve, do you want me to share? I think from a personal perspective, I think we're good there. Do you want me to share some business stuff and then have you go, or?
Yeah, sure. Go for it, man.
Okay. All right, guys. I have a lot to cover from a business standpoint here. So let me just kind of start with some notes. And then I'm very fortunate. I'm pretty well networked and connected. And so I'm going to share with you my thoughts, some things that we're doing. And then I want to share with you some takeaways from some pretty large players that I think, you know, it's smart. And I think it could have an impact on your guys' business. So number one, survey the landscape. Be very strategic. You know, if there's a quarantine, let's just assume a quarantine is coming down the pipeline, which nobody really knows. I've heard both sides of the story. Use it as an opportunity to learn. Use it as an opportunity to tighten up your systems, your processes. Get your KPIs dialed in. So if you're not feeling strong about your KPIs and you got to be home 24 hours a day for the next week, 2 weeks, or a month, use it as a blessing in disguise. Like that's life happening for you, not to you, right? So use that quarantine time to really tighten up the processes, the systems, KPIs, all that kind of stuff. Be very strategic. And what I mean by that is survey the landscape. Keep an eye on inventory levels in your market. You know, talk to agents, talk to your buyers, talk to your sellers, talk to your lenders. Make sure the lines of communication are open. Get a pulse, get a sense for where people are at. If you happen to be in a position in which you're well capitalized and you are very liquid, go out and call the wholesalers in your market, call the agents in your market, let them know, hey, I'm well capitalized, I'm funded, and I'm in acquisitions mode, basically. Again, don't go out doing something stupid, don't do anything crazy, but if you happen to be in a position financially where you are liquid, let people know, because my sense is the majority of people are not liquid and they're not prepared. So that could be a big opportunity for you. And I want to caveat that by saying, don't be opportunistic as far as, and nobody here would ever take advantage of anyone, but I see so many people posting on social media and the arrogance is just kind of mind blowing, bragging about how much money they're going to make and how much opportunity they have. And life has a way of humbling you. So don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. This is an opportunity to go out and help more people. And as a result, you'll be compensated and opportunities will come. You guys run businesses, so don't get me wrong. You have to make money, but lead with service, you know, lead with your heart. And I think everything else is going to follow. I do believe opportunities are coming down the pipeline from an AV perspective. Opportunities are always abound, right? But buying opportunities, I can tell you that we've seen a little bit of an uptick in the leads that have come in. We are using this opportunity to follow up. I can't stress enough how following up was always important, and now it's that much more important. I'll share with you. Let me share with you guys a direct mail piece that we are in the middle of crafting. And I don't want to get off topic here, but I do want to share this with you. This is what we're doing. I'm gonna share my screen here. We are going out to all the appointments that we have been on in the last year. And if people were not motivated back then, many of those people will be motivated now. You know, situations change. And so let me just kind of quickly share with you this letter. And this isn't to get into the weeds, but I kind of want to share with you how we're using this to reach out to more people. So this is a letter. I'm happy to share this with you guys. And at the bottom, it's a picture of my family. We mentioned the coronavirus, and we mentioned that we're here to help, and we're here to add value, and that we can conduct business over the phone. We don't have to be there. And there's a part in here that basically says, even if we can't buy your property, please consider us a resource. We can be here. So basically what we're doing is we're printing these out in-house, and then we're attaching a one-page purchase contract, and we're actually filling it out with an offer for their property. So we're sending a two-page mail piece to about 150, 160-something people that we've been on appointments on in the last year. And we're sending this letter with a picture of my family at the bottom. By the way, this is a mail piece that we used to use and was converting really, really well. And we're sending a one-page offer. So within the next probably week to week and a half, we'll have 150-something offers out in the mail attached with this cover letter. That's just one example of something that we're doing. How many people do you guys know are actually mailing contracts? I know a lot of people emailing contracts, but I don't know very many mailing contracts. So that's just one thing that we're doing. Okay, so mailing contracts. If there is a quarantine, you guys might want to reach out to your mail house because, you know, I don't know that the mail system in this country is going to stop, but the supply chain can be severely affected. So if you have the budget, make sure that you're having communication, you're having talks with your mail house, and you know, make sure that you guys are in a position that if there is a shutdown or things are quarantined, you guys have everything lined up so that once things open up again, your marketing is like back up and running. Okay, so just something to think through. What do I got here? What do I got? John Martinez. John Martinez did an awesome, awesome training yesterday. Was anyone a part of that? Just like a quick show of hands, did anybody watch? Okay, so George was a part of it. John Martinez did a two-hour content-only training about buying and locking up deals on the phone. I'm going to go ahead and post that video. It's on YouTube now. I'll post that video in the Ascend Facebook group. If you guys are wholesaling, if you guys are in acquisitions mode, watch that video because he outlines the script and how you guys should be going about locking up deals on the phone. Highly, highly recommend that. Think through if you guys need to redefine or modify your buy box. Okay. Don't go crazy, but if you see opportunity out there, act. Okay. But ask yourself, do I need to, especially if you guys are rehabbing? I'll kind of defer to Steve. He's the expert on that. But like my opinion would be don't get into long projects. You know, think of the wholesaling type of approach. If you see something that needs, you know, lipstick, anything under $5,000 and it's an opportunity, take it down and put it on the MLS. But I would avoid anything that's going to take you 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months of rehab in this climate. So think about your buy box. By the way, guys, again, if you have questions, just put it in the chat box. What else? On the wholesale side, we're getting longer inspection periods and we're extending our closing date. Why? I know several people across the country where their court system has shut down and they can't even record deeds. So if you can't record deeds, one of the things you guys can do is get options on properties. Okay, so that's one of the things that we're implementing. We don't really use options here, but if something happens that we can't record deeds and we actually can't conduct business, we're going to be putting a crap ton of options on properties just to control it. And when the dust settles, you guys have an opportunity to kind of figure out what's what. So we're getting longer inspection periods. We're extending closing dates in certain cases. I talked about the options. I talked about mailing offers. Go above and beyond for people. Again, like I referenced in that letter, even if we can't buy the property, we're letting people know that we're here to help however we can, and we genuinely mean that. So let people know. What else? Again, follow up. If somebody declined one of your offers 3 months from now, it's very likely they might be in a very different position today. So go back to appointments you've been on, go back to offers you've sent, reach out to people, and just touch base. Find out where they're at, because there might be an opportunity to help them and pick up a deal. What else? Okay, from a marketing perspective, this is going to be on a case-by-case basis. I know several people that are betting the house on marketing. Like, they are going all out and they're deploying a lot of capital at marketing. I know some people that are doing the exact opposite and they're not doing any marketing and they're just focusing on the follow-up. And then I know others that are kind of just maintaining and doing the same. I'm here to tell you what to do, because I think that's on an individual basis. But if you're well capitalized and if you have capital, it could be an opportunity to increase your marketing, provided that you're doing it, you're being smart about it. I'll tell you what we're doing. We're not necessarily increasing our marketing. We're doubling down on our follow-up, and we're looking for additional ways to have people bring us deals. So you're going to see me a lot more active on social media. You're going to see Elizabeth probably more active on social media. We're reaching out to we started a meetup less than a month ago. We're reaching out to people in our network through the meetup. Now's a perfect opportunity to pick up the phone, call people, find out how they're doing, and let them know that business moves on and you know, you're looking to network, you're looking to JV, or do you know of any opportunities? I know one guy, we haven't done this, that all he's been doing since Monday is he went to his contacts and he has literally been going down the line from A to Z, contacting people, letting people know that they're buying. And I'm pretty sure that strategy is going to work for him. So that's all I have to say about marketing. Actually, I have a few more things to share, but these aren't my thoughts. This is from somebody else that shared a really valuable resource with us. On the transaction coordinator side, guys, babysit your deals to the closing table. If you have a transaction coordinator, make sure that they're staying on top of these files. I'm talking like every day. Like, I think you literally need to grab these files and take them to the closing table. I can tell you that we had a retail deal closing on Friday, and the buyer backed out last minute. Just, we were at the 5 yard line, about to punch this thing in, $24,000 wholesale deal. Buyer just walked out. So people are getting scared. We put the property back on the market. We were supposed to get it under contract today, and we just got a text message like 4 hours ago from the buyer that they're just feeling very uneasy with everything going on. They're not moving forward. So if you guys have files that are pending, that are closing, make sure that you're communicating with the seller, with the buyer, with the title company, with the agent, if there's one involved, with any lenders that might be involved. Babysit these things to the closing table and make sure that they close. And I know Steve has probably more to add, because he's got a pretty big deal closing on Friday, and I know he's been on top of that as well. Look for additional profit centers within your business that don't take you in a completely different direction, right? So for example, if you're a wholesaler and you have a crap ton of leads in Podio or in your CRM, and you know that you're not going to be able to follow up with all these thousands of leads, maybe you could pick up the phone and call an agent and see if an agent wants to buy some leads from you. Or maybe it's a way that you can kick some leads over to an agent and you get a part of their commission. Start thinking creatively about hidden profit centers within your business. Here's where I want to caution you. Make sure that it doesn't take you completely away from your business model. Make sure it doesn't take you completely away from your vision, and it's not a shiny object. So think about the things that you're already doing that take little to no effort, that there might be hidden profit centers. All right. A couple more things, and then I want to turn over to this document that I have some additional resources. Be a professional, you know, stand out from the crowd. There's going to be a lot of douchebags out there trying to do some really shady shit. Stand out from the crowd, you know, be a pro and just raise, as far as I'll kind of leave the access to capital. I know some people that are calling some small local banks and asking if they're offering unsecured business lines of credit. If you have discipline and you're not going to go to Vegas and go crazy, that might be something you want to do if you're not liquid right now. What else? What else? Over communicate. I think I've said communicate several times. I've been in constant communication with my team, buyers, sellers, lenders that we're working with, key partners in the business. So just make sure that you guys are communicating with people, being very proactive. And then here's a big one before I kind of share some additional things, and then I'll turn it over to Steve. Eliminate, guys, frivolous spending. Look at your P&L, or if you don't have a P&L, look at your credit card statement. Look at where outflow, money outflow is, and ask yourself, this is a profit first exercise. Does this expense add to the bottom line? In other words, does it generate income or profit? If so, keep it. Number two, is it an expense that can be replaced with a cheaper alternative? Okay, and if so, move in that direction. Number three, is it unnecessary? If it's unnecessary, get rid of it. Get rid of any, like, if you guys can save $50 a month, that's an additional $50 a month that you have in your pocket right now. And every dollar, every piece of capital that you have, I think is extremely valuable, especially during these uncertain times. So I'm pretty confident if you guys were to go through this exercise, each and every one of you will save some money. So think about where you can save some capital, trim some expenses, not just on the business side, but on the about $150. Like we have my wife and I have a massage membership at Hand in Stone, and we have like 5 massages that have accumulated because we haven't been there in months. We just killed it. $150 a month saved right there. So we all have expenses we can get rid of. Let me kind of go rapid fire here because I feel like I've been talking for a while. All right, check this out. This was shared by somebody that is a close friend of Steve and I that is very smart, somebody who is on top of their game and knows what's going on. So get as lean as possible. I just talked about that. Waste nothing. Eliminate any unnecessary expenses. I had the same thoughts. I already shared that, so I really won't get into that. Reach out to wholesalers, relationships. Make them know. Let them know that you're liquid and that you can cash them out of anything that they have in their pipeline that they're not able to get done. If you're looking to increase your staff, okay, if there's anybody out there that feels like their business is in a really good position and they're well capitalized, there's going to be opportunity out there. People are going to be let go, unfortunately. People are going to lose their jobs. And if you are hiring and if you want to expand, keep an eye out for talent, because I think there's going to be an opportunity to potentially bring on some really good people on your team if that's what you want to do. That's not going to be everyone's situation. I already talked about that. Okay, let me just read this to you. If you don't have the capital to ramp up your marketing right now, make sure that you're using your own time and your staff to follow up on the leads you already have that you're not doing anything with. I already talked about the follow-up. Motivation levels for sellers change for different reasons. Now's the perfect time to be focusing on your follow-up to convert old and dead leads. Okay, I'm wrapping up here. If you guys don't have enough cash right now on hand, whether it's on the personal or the business side, consider liquidating assets to give you that peace of mind. So everyone's situation is going to be different, but some of you guys have assets that potentially could still be sold. You don't want to take much of a haircut. You don't want to take a haircut at all if you don't have to, right? So don't do anything crazy. But if you have no cash, I would rather you guys are never going to hear me to leverage debt for the most part. But if you have some debt, I would rather you guys have the cash on your side than pay off that debt right now if it's going to leave you very thin. Okay. And then lastly, guys, you know, as you go through the process, and then I'm going to kick it over to you, Steve, as you guys go through the process of looking at your P&L and looking at your expenses, now is the time that I think you guys should rely on a group like this even more because of the firepower we have here. And because we're going to have our finger on the pulse and we're here to guide you guys. So, schedule coaching calls. Don't wait, at least on my end. You don't have to wait for that one a month. If you guys need to talk, I'm here for you. So I encourage you guys to reach out, anything you want to talk through, whether it's on the personal or the business side. And I know Steve echoes my thoughts. Just reach out, okay?
All right. That was a lot of good stuff. Thanks, Alex. I'm going to go down my laundry list here now for you guys, and then we'll address any questions. So I just saw an article pop up. Trump says HUD is suspending foreclosures and evictions until the end of April. Foreclosures and evictions are going to be suspended through the end of April. Pretty wild, huh? So, all right, let me pull
up. By the way, Cleveland, I just got word in Cleveland, where I have some rentals, they're suspending evictions for at least a 2-month period. Yep. And by the way, that's another, if you guys have tenants, if you don't have a property management, like I'm going to be calling my property management company in about an hour here, and I'm going to have them be very proactive reaching out to the tenants I have to just, again, keeping the lines of communication open. This is going to affect everyone. So if you guys have tenants, I'm curious what Oswaldo and Anna have to say about that, because they probably have more tenants than anybody. But I think that's probably a good practice to reach out to tenants or have the property management company do that.
All right. So ready, guys, here's what I have to say on the business stuff. So it's important to stay connected. Back in 2008, I was, in the Flipbit group. And it was really awesome to be in a group of people from different parts of the country. So I could, I could keep my finger on the pulse of what was happening in different areas. So typically what happens is in the hotter markets, so, you know, in California, Miami, Phoenix, things like that, you know, it's really valuable to know what is going on the ground there, because that's coming to you at some point in time if you're in a market that's not as hot. So we'll watch those trends, stay plugged into a group like this where we've got people spread throughout the country. And then we'll be able to share perspectives so that we can collectively keep our finger on the pulse of what's going on. So great blessing and benefit to have a group like this, so where we can do that. Alex kind of alluded to a lot of the things that I was going to touch on, but I'll go deeper on some of these things. There's no such thing as a one-size-fits-all solution. So don't necessarily look to somebody else in your market and decide to follow what they're doing, or somebody else on Facebook or anything like that. You have to kind of figure out based on, and Alex and I are here to help you with that. You have to figure out what's going to work for you right now based on the assets that you have. And I don't mean just assets in a monetary sense, but you know, what your operation looks like, what your people look like, what your cash flow scenario is. We've talked enough about, you know, the non-essential spending, but one of the notes that I wanted to make, and Alex kind of alluded to this already, but don't necessarily stop marketing. Figure out what type of marketing is going to be the best bang for your buck, and then do that. Because I think the natural tendency anytime that there's a cash crunch, it is to pull back the marketing when that's really what you should be hitting the gas on right now. So increase the marketing, keep the phone ringing, making sure that you are the ones to be speaking with the sellers. At the end of this, I've got a cool little script I kind of put together that I'll share with you as far as getting sellers off the fence and kind of using some of this to your advantage. Survey the landscape before jumping in. What this means is that get yourself off the playing field for the next week or two. Let's see what happens, but stand on the sidelines watching the game still being played. But don't ever try and time the market. So I saw this happen back in like 2009, which would, in my opinion, have been too early for somebody to go out there and buy a whole property. So I watched some old school guys buy a bunch of properties in 2009 when they could have waited a couple of years later in 2011 when the market was much lower. If you were trying to time the market, then there were much better buys there. But they thought immediately, they saw the immediate depreciation or the immediate drop-off, kind of like we're seeing in the stock market right now, and they said, okay, this is the time to buy. Now, in retrospect, it wasn't such a bad decision because they could sell the property for today, you know, for a whole lot more, right? But my preference back then and my preference still now is to step aside, let them go ahead and start buying stuff now if that's what they're going to do, because I know that typically it takes a year or two for everything to kind of settle in, and then it'll take a year or two or three to kind of climb back out of it. But like I say, that's not a one size fits all, and that's going to be dependent on your strategy. you know, as far as buying formula, what we have to understand is that right now at this current point in time, and this could be different tomorrow because this is all changing so fast, but the market fundamentals are still very good. We have historical low inventory. We have a population that is increasing, and we have money that is super, super cheap, i.e. interest rates. So the market fundamentals are still very good. I was just on the phone with Brenton before this call, and he was telling me how he just listed a couple properties, and he's getting showings and offers. I've heard that from numerous people in numerous markets across the country so far this week. If you are listing property and it's priced right, there you're still getting multiple showings, multiple offers, and all that good stuff. I can tell you certainly on the buying side, I've made a number of offers where I've been in highest and best on listed properties this week already. So people are still buying, and I believe that homeowners are still buying. So as far as a buying formula, I'm still using my tried and true 70%, but I'm no longer going to try to shoot for a new high or anything like that. You know, I think this is going to be a situation where I'm definitely looking for stuff that's more cosmetic. I don't want to get hung up in doing something that's going to take a very long time or that's got sticky aspects to it, like putting a new septic system in or redoing a foundation or any of those things that in good times, you know, we could go ahead and take those on if we got the right buy on it. The whole goal here and the buzzword is to be nimble. So be nimble with your deals if you're buying stuff, fixing it up, and reselling it. Lines of credit, a little bit more on that. Like I said, I pulled from my unsecured. There's no risk there. If they send me a letter and say, hey, Steve, we're closing your line of account, we're calling it, pay us tomorrow, well, there's nothing they can do if I don't, right? But if it's a secured line of credit, i.e. against multiple properties that I own, and they call that thing due and they say, give us, you have 30 days to pay us all our money back, and I'm unable to do that because I'm waiting for deals to close or whatever, and the courthouse is closed and I can't or whatever, well, then they can go ahead and then just take my house. And there's a lot more risk there with that. So if you have a choice and you have an unsecured line of credit and you want to do like what I did, where I'm okay paying the interest for the security of having that extra cash around if I need it, then go ahead and do that. Now what I started to say earlier that I didn't finish saying was that as long as my big deal that I have closes at the end of the week, I will put that $100,000 back, and then they very well may come along and then close it. But you should pretty much assume that if you have an unsecured line of credit and the market continues to tank, you will be getting a letter sooner rather than later where they're closing that account on you, and you will no longer have the ability to pull that money out. All right. Alex already said, you know, this is a good time to kind of do some homework, spend time on system processes. You know, a buddy of mine in Wisconsin who's very successful was just saying he's spending a lot of time working on his SEO for his website. He's using this as an opportunity to, while his competition and everybody else is kind of in shock right now, he's going full bore on his online marketing. So keep that in mind. Here's something that I'm very fortunate that we have done for those of you guys with rentals. We have automated all of our rents except for one tenant. What that means is that they're all paying through. We use Cozy, but there's any number of things out there, software out there that will collect the payment for you. In other words, it puts their rent on a credit card. And that, I feel like, gives me at least a month or two before they would go on and then cancel the charge on their credit card or do whatever they were going to do to try to. It's much different than a tenant writing you a check and making that decision that, oh, hey, I thought I heard in the news that I don't have to pay rent, or they can't evict me, so I'm not going to pay the rent is really what it is, right? Well, if it's automatically recurring on their credit card, they would actually have to go through the hassle of calling the credit card company, disputing the charge, or whatever the case might be, or somehow turning that off, right? And a lot of times people don't think like that. So if you are able to automate your rents, do it right now. If you're still collecting checks on rents, automate the rents, do it right now. You can use Cozy. It doesn't cost you anything to do it. Communicate with your non-paying tenants as soon as possible. Once something pops up and somebody's not paying, that's when you need to be on the phone with them working something out. Hey, what's going on? Just want to make sure everything's okay. I'm not so proactive that I want to call them and make sure everything's okay up front, but if that's you and you feel compelled to do that, that's probably not a bad practice, just to see how they're doing with it all. Mail contracts and offers to leads, especially your old leads. Alex kind of is already talking about that, and that's what he's doing, and he shared with you that example there. No need to go further into that. don't make decisions based on fear. That's what a lot of your competitors are doing. That's what a lot of other people out there are doing. So, you know, make sure that you're being strategic about it. Again, stand on the sidelines. Picture yourself standing on the sidelines, making decisions as a coach would make decisions, not as a player on the field would make decisions. That's going to help you think more business and less emotional. This is a good time to follow up on your old leads. So take your existing database and all the leads that were throwaway leads for you, or you consider dead or were just old and need follow-up. This is the time to mine those leads, because this is a new and real motivator for the sellers, and it's a real opportunity for you. All right. Now I'm going to get into more controversial stuff here with that being said. So please don't anyone hold this against me. But if this is in fact a thing that's going to cause older people to pass away, the market's going to be flooded with probates. Probates historically for me have been extremely profitable, and they have been for a lot of people. If older folks start passing away and they own real estate, there's going to need to be someone there to scoop that stuff up, and that can be us. So I see that as a big opportunity over the next year if this thing gets legs. Conversations with your existing database of sellers. I just got done basically sending this same text to a seller that I have on the fence right now. Hey, just a heads up, I'm still interested in buying your house. The truth is, because of the coronavirus, there's uncertainty and we have not seen any real effects on the real estate market as of yet, but I'm afraid it's coming. So I can buy your house today, but that doesn't mean I can next week. Everything is currently at a standstill. Truth be told, I might be putting myself in more risk now buying your home than I'd like to if property values begin to free fall. So please get in touch with me and let me know what you've decided regarding the sale of your house. So something along those lines is really drawing out the fear and you know, giving you the opportunity to capitalize on that. Okay. I got a couple more things I'll get through here, Alex, and then we can open it up or if you have any commentary on it. Let me tell you what's bad right now, folks, is if you guys remember at the last retreat, I had about $7,000 worth of bookings on my Airbnb that I had just opened up over the course of several days. Many of them, almost all of those reservations have since canceled. Well, I should say I was probably about two-thirds of the way through that. So I got most of that. But I will say that everything's kind of dropped off and I'm getting no new bookings. Any short-term rentals or anything travel-related is dead right now. In fact, you know, my family had a summer vacation. We were about to sit down and plan, and now I just read that they closed the border with Canada. And we were going to go to Canada. So I don't even know what to say as far as any of that's concerned. Luckily, I bought that thing cash, and luckily, my only expenses are the HOA fee and the taxes on it. By the way, speaking of taxes, I don't mean to bounce. Hold on a second, Alex. I don't mean to bounce all around here, but I did see that they are allowing federal taxes to be paid. I think it's 2 or 3 months now from April. So look that up. If you guys thought that you had a tax liability due in the middle of next month, it's now due several months from now, which is pretty awesome. I don't know what that means as far as tax return and when that is due, but I just know that the payment they're kicking out into the future. So that's kind of cool. Alex, did you have something on the short-term rentals?
I do. I want to add something really quick. Let me just kind of get a temperature here. How many of you guys are buying short-term rentals? So if nobody's buying short-term rentals, it doesn't. Okay, so Terry and Kristen, sort of. Okay, I guess this only applies to you guys, and Matt's buying short-term rentals.
He has some.
Okay, got it. This might sound obvious, but obviously don't. If your only exit is to go short-term, don't do it right now. There's so much uncertainty, and Steve just, and I know several people in another group that, similar thing as Steve, like cancellations left and right. So if you would still buy the property and rent it, and it happens to also be a really good short-term rental, go for it. But if you're doing it strictly to go Airbnb, I would be really, really cautious at this point.
Yep. All right. Obviously I already said this is my what's bad list here, and then I'll get to the what's good stuff. What's bad, long rehabs, trade up market and luxury rehabs. Now, I remember back in 2007, 2008, 2009, the luxury rehabs were kind of the first ones to really take a hit. And I, you guys know this about me, I always like to look at several different ways that I can exit a property. My preferred method is to rehab it and then resell it. But if I have to turn it into an accidental rental, It needs to be able to cash flow. That's why I buy much more conservatively than people who are buying with just one exit in mind, i.e. rent the property out. Those guys are going to beat me every single day of the week on price. They're buying at like 88 cents or something on the dollar. You know, I'm buying 70 less repairs. Those guys are going to crush me on the acquisition, but they only have one way they can go with that. I love to be able to buy at my price where I have multiple options, multiple exits. So think like that right now. If you are in on a million plus property and you're unable to sell it, there's a very good chance you're not going to be able to A, refinance out of it, or B, there's a good chance you're not going to be able to cash flow, and you're going to be feeding that thing until you can get out from underneath it, and who knows what's going to happen. Now, when you're talking about market segments, there's a certain market segment above which it no longer matters, because cash buyers of a $3 to $5 million home are a different type of buyer than somebody who's financing a $1.2 million home. You see what I'm saying? So at some point, and it's going to be market dependent, it will no longer matter, but that's true luxury homes versus like, you know, a nice McMansion. So I always like the first time home buyer segment. When and if government assistance comes into the marketplace to keep mortgages being funded, they will always put the programs at first time home buyer market segment. Always put the money towards first time home buyer. They always want to keep that working class buying those properties and CDOing those mortgages. So keep that in mind. Stay in the first time home buyer, working class neighborhoods, and whatnot. let's see. Okay, and then I already talked about auto pay with the rentals. Very wise thing to do. Keep them on the auto pay. Don't let them just write you a check, because they might just decide not to do that. All right, so that's what's bad. Here's some opportunity. Here's what's good out of all of this. On the personal side of things, this is a time for you guys to reassess what's important. You know, kids, family, spirituality, vision work. Alex already touched on that stuff at the beginning of the call. This is your opportunity to look and focus at the future. So what's life and business going to look like beyond this? So a lot of people are getting caught up in the day-to-day, what's actually happening. I mean, myself included, this has fascinated me in some ways, good and bad. But, you know, the idea is to look at, like, well, how are we going to come out of it? Like, last night my wife was like, man, I'm determined to come out of this, like, in better shape than I went into this, you know. That all being said, folks, you know, I know a lot of people I'm not going to get into that. I'm just going to leave it with that. Business. What's good about business here? Market and life disruption is leading to the competition's eyes just being completely off the ball. Remember, if you guys are taking action right now and being strategic right now, you probably are in the top 20, probably Alex, in top of 10% of investors in the country right now. A lot of people have not been through something like this. A lot of people have no idea. There are going to be opportunities that are going to be presented, and I can't tell you what they are right now. Alex can't tell you what they are right now. But in a couple weeks, in a few weeks, in a month or two, things are going to start to materialize. And that's when being plugged in here 100% is going to be very important, because there's going to be strategies that are going to pop up, and it's going to be an opportunity to make a lot of money in a very short period of time. So just keep doing what you're doing, but just understand that a lot of people's eyes are completely off the ball. They've only been doing one thing for a very long time. They're not diversified, and they're not going to be able to make it through this. So that's it. And then I just want to, again, just say, look, the market fundamentals right now, today, are very good. I am concerned about hyperinflation, especially flooding the market with all the extra capital that they just did and all the money printing and all that stuff. That's a very real reality. What they will have to do in order to get a hold on that is increase interest rates, and then that will probably screw everything up. But for right now, it's great. Low inventory, low rates, you know, showings are happening, multiple offers and all that stuff. So, you know, just to kind of put a cap on it, you know, this is Alex and I are stepping up. We want to help lead you guys through this. So, any feedback is appreciated. Alex.
Yeah. A couple of things, guys, that I forgot to mention. For most businesses, labor and marketing are the two highest expenses. So look at your labor, look at your team members, evaluate each and every one individually and ask yourself, are they a luxury hire? Meaning like they're nice to have, but like it's very questionable if they add to the bottom line and if there's a return on investment there. Because again, you don't want to have cut the fat, basically. And that sounds very harsh, but it's the reality of it. You don't want to have outgo, cash outgo on somebody on your team that's not pulling their weight and is not generating revenue for the business. So look at your team members. If you have someone that you know in your heart of hearts it's not going to work, this might be the perfect opportunity to have that uncomfortable conversation. And, you know, for some of you, it could be a $40,000, $50,000 salary that all of a sudden that just goes right to the bottom line because you don't have that cash outgo. Steve, I don't know if you agree with this, man. I think rentals, there's going to be an increase in rentals, you know, with people not wanting to. I've spoken to several realtors that they've had pending deals fall out. Buyers are kind of getting a little scared in some cases. So I don't know that there's going to be an uptick in home sales. And I think people are going to be moving to more rentals. I could be wrong there. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know how I feel about
that. Because if you don't pay your rent, you don't get evicted, man. I think I want to move into a rental.
Dude, it's crazy. It's insane. It's insane. I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I think we covered a lot. I'm looking through some additional notes here. Yeah, we covered a lot. We want to open it up now, I guess.
Yep, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, guys, unmute yourself if you have a question or want to talk about something.
All right, my friends. Well, what do you think? I hope you got a lot out of that Ascend private mastermind call. You know, hopefully you took something away from there. I know we discussed a lot. These are the types of things you need to be thinking about. Lead your team. Again, lead with chin up, chest out, let them borrow your confidence. Come from a place of faith, not from a place of fear. And then think about, you know, take a step back, breathe. Everything's going to be all right. Survey the landscape and then attack, take action. As Jocko would say, re-engage, do what you got to do. And so hopefully you got something out of that. Again, if you have any interest at the time of this recording, we have two open seats left and that's it. We are capping Ascend at 30, two small intimate groups of 15. I have the ability to coach one more person. Steve has the ability to coach one more person. So we have two open seats. If you guys have any interest in just connecting with us and learning more about that, it's more of an interview. We don't even make any decisions on that first call. Reach out to us, ascendyoursuccess.com, ascendyoursuccess.com. Watch that short video and then just take a couple of minutes to apply. And if you have any questions, feel free to shoot me a message on social, Facebook or Instagram, and we will go from there. And if not, either way, just wanted to deliver value and I trust that you got a lot out of that. So I look forward to connecting with you on episode 401. Thank you, my friend.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.